Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike live in studio with my wife, Linda. And we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do as we kind of just have an open dialogue on the topic of marriage, becoming one, and just cherishing your wife. Actually, that's where we left off yesterday, if you were with us. So we talked about the topic of cherishing your wife and what that might look like. I think we might have a few more closing thoughts on that before we finish this chapter. But I want to remind you, we are a live call-in show. We love to hear from our listeners. You could text us, you could call us, you could Facebook us. There's several ways. I'm going to let Linda tell you all about that. But I want to let you know, our preference is that you call us. There's nothing like hearing your voice and dialoguing a little bit. So my begging of you is that maybe you would actually call, and I'm going to let Linda tell you how you can do that.
Hi, there we are, everybody. You know what? Before I do that, I'm going to tell you guys some really good news that's going on, because we've had kind of a rough summer where it feels like some people have been leaving here and there and just wondering what God's doing. And all of a sudden, there are just tons of new people coming to Calvary Chapel Eagle. And there's some changes going on, which we love it because we know the Lord's been working through this. We know people have been waiting for when we get to start high school ministry back up on Sunday mornings. Well, ta-da, it starts in September. So if you have high schoolers and you've been looking for a place to get them plugged in, we're going to start Sunday mornings having high school group again. Now, the first Sunday of every month is communion. That's family communion. And we have the high schoolers and the leaders come into service once a month on Communion Sunday. The rest of it, they're going to be in room, I think it's 308 at the school, meeting, having their own time together. And I know their focus is going to be the importance of worship and the importance of God's Word, okay? Following God's Word. I love these people that are going to be doing this because I know they live their lives by the Bible, and we are praying they will be able to impart the importance of following the Bible to these young teenagers. So we are so excited. There's just things going on. Oh, and then in a couple weeks, on Wednesday nights at our midweek service at the Eagle Senior Center, we are going to be adding a junior high school group in the back room. So the Lord is moving. The things we've been praying for, it's like all of a sudden the Lord goes, okay, here you go. In His timing, He does everything. So we're excited. We're excited about what God's doing. And as you know, don't do this to me on the air. As you know, next week, we go to an hour-long show. Another big change. I'm kind of waiting to see what else September is going to be holding, you know, for us. I'm excited because we're going to go to a pastor's conference. And last time we went, the Lord really showed us some important things like taking a day off. So I'm really excited to see what He's going to show us this time. The Lord is doing things. He is alive and well. He is moving in the churches in America. Yes, sin is rampant, but the Lord is there. If you're looking for Him, you can find the Lord. Find a good church and get down there. Now, done with all that commercial time, and I'm going to tell you how to call in. We would love for you to call, because that way we can talk to you, ask you questions, make sure we're really answering your question. So that number to be live on the air with us is 208-377-3790. Let me give you that number again. 208-377-3790. If you just don't want to talk live on the radio, that's okay. Send us a text message at 208-891-2631. I had to think about that one a second and switch phone numbers in my head. You know, we just don't memorize phone numbers anymore. So it's weird. I try not to read it off the card, but every once in a while I have to. And if you're one of those, hello, everybody out there in Facebook Live land. If you're one of those out there watching us live, go ahead, put up your comments, and we will try to answer those. We keep an eye on you at Facebook. So if you've got a question, you put it there too, and we will get to you. So, and we're going to try to finish up this marriage series this week. That means today and tomorrow, so that when we go to an hour show next week, we're going to be picking up a new topic.
Yeah, a new topic, ooh, maybe, yeah, but I'm actually thinking of
marriage, divorce, and remarriage.
I actually did a paper a while back called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, and I think that's a hot topic among Christians because there's a lot of Christians going through divorce, and I think Christians need to be reminded of the importance of holding your marriage together. We might even talk about maybe some tips to hold your marriage together, but for the most part, this was a paper I did probably 10 years ago now at Calvary Chapel Boise when I was on staff as one of the assistants there. My pastor asked me to put together a paper of the church's stand on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, the thing is, it was such a touchy and sensitive issue because you could always offend somebody by something you say that every time I submitted a draft of it, the pastor adjusted it. I sent in another. The pastor adjusted it. And so what happened is it never actually got printed. And so it's still sitting on my computer. I've used it for different things myself. But I think I'm going to do my final work through on the air. I'm going to go through it, talk it through with my wife, listen to callers as you call in, and that'll help us to decide, is this ready? Maybe we'll even publish it, make a little pamphlet. I'm not sure how we'll do that.
Yeah, we need to get that marriage paper up on our website, too. You know, that's one thing. I've been trying to work on the website lately, so we finally got our homeschool page up there. We finally got our sewing clutch, which is a remarkable ministry that the Lord brought to our church. They actually provide blankets. They've been sewing blankets for the Holocaust survivors in Israel. Yes, there are still a few in Israel. And we have pictures up there showing them with some of the quilts that were sewn. And we sent a mission trip to the Philippines in the summer. They made little dresses for the girls to go there. Right now, they're going to have the opportunity, looking for their knitters out there, that, well, they've been commissioned to knit beanies for the Israeli army. It's a very, very specific pattern, has to be followed exactly. But what a blessing to be able to do this in the name of Jesus, provide all these things. So hopefully we'll get that marriage paper and we'll get that marriage, divorce, and remarriage paper up on the web, so that way you can go look at it and download it if you need it.
Well, we keep pushing forward, and we'll push forward in the text here now as we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We left off with this thought, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Yesterday, we really focused in on verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, before we finish this chapter, we're going to see just how much really marriage is supposed to be a reflection of the way Jesus loves the church and the way the church really, I almost use the word adores. The church does adore Jesus. But
We worship and
adore but I don't
want to.
Yes. But see, here's the thing. If it's a picture of marriage, then the husband should love his wife sacrificially, and the wife should adore her husband.
Adore you. Okay. There, I finally got
you this time. Yeah, you're trying to get me back there. Yes. Okay, so listen, one of the words, and I just want to focus on this once more before we move on to the next verse, is that says that we're to nourish and cherish our wife, just as the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. That means the Lord, well, of course, we know from many other passages that the Lord gives us the Word of God, and that's basically we are spiritually fed by the Word of God. That's why we teach the Word of God. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we make a big deal about owning Bibles and reading your Bible, because I don't care how spiritual you think you are, if you're not reading your Bible, you may be spiritual in a weird way. You may be spiritual in a evil way. Because I've met a lot of people, or I've even talked to a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time. They go, Mike, you know, it's been a long time, but I've become quite spiritual lately. Yeah. And they use that term as if that means we have a lot in common, but not necessarily, because spiritual could mean new age or some kind of occultic spirituality. It could mean your own homemade recipe of what's spiritual. Spiritual alone is not good. Spiritual could mean the devil's kind of spiritual. And so what I want to encourage you to do is get spiritual according to what the Bible says spiritual is.
Yes.
And so Jesus nourishes us with his word. Without the scriptures, we don't know what's true. We men need to nourish our wives and in the proper way, and physically, spiritually, emotionally, in all kinds of ways. But then it uses this word cherish. And I think that's important to realize the attitude you take towards your wife is going to affect the way you treat her. If you don't cherish your wife, you just go, yeah, that's my old lady. Have you heard people talk like that? Yeah, well, my old lady would never put up with that. My old lady.
But I am old. I had a birthday Tuesday. I'm old now.
I never called you my old lady. You know?
No, you never did.
No, that's
But we do get the senior discount.
Yeah, we might use that word in restaurants. Do you have discounts for old people? But, you know, the point is your attitude towards your wife will make all the difference in the world and the way you treat her. If you just think she's a pain in your side or she's your old lady or she's just the woman who lives in the house with you, you know, things can get really irritable and annoying. You know, come on, let me just be honest with you. There are opportunities for any two people who live together to be irritable towards one another, to be annoyed by one another's behavior. We're all different, okay? But if you cherish your wife, and let me just look at the Greek there. I know that this is maybe not the most romantic thing to do, but the Greek says to warm or to keep warm, to cherish. It says to cherish with tender love, to foster with tender care. And, you know, I mean, think of it like, I know it's different that when you have a baby, but you cherish a little bit. It's easier to cherish a little baby because they're helpless, defenseless, and they just need, if you don't pick them up, they don't move. If you don't feed them, they don't eat, you know. And so
they just scream.
Yeah, but they're dependent upon you. It seems to be really easy to cherish a baby. But I think that you should never lose that sense, that attitude towards your wife, guys, that you cherish her, how precious, how special she is, and she's your other half. As a matter of fact, it goes on to explain that, where it says, for this reason, wait, verse 30 says, for we are members of his body, speaking of Christ, and his flesh and his bones. So the analogy keeps going back and forth, that we are actually members of Christ. Christ treats us as if we are part of his body. He nourishes and cherishes us. In the same way, we need to look at our wives as a part of our own body that we nourish and cherish. So let me keep reading with this in mind. Verse 31 of Ephesians 5 says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, I was looking this morning at some different commentators on this, and I just found a couple interesting quotes I want to read to you. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, the husband must realize that his wife is a part of himself. He will not feel this instinctively. He has to be taught it. And the Bible, in all its parts, teaches it. In other words, the husband must understand that he and his wife are not two, they are one. And I like that. I know that. Quite often, I think most of the times when I do a wedding, I will kind of exhort the young couple in front of all of the witnesses that from this day forth, you will not be making your decisions in life separately. When you plan your vacations, you're planning your vacations together. When you plan your hopes and your dreams and your goals of life, it's no longer two individual distinct people planning their hopes and dreams and visions. It's together, because from this point on, you will be one. And I always, or at least whenever it allows, sometimes we have a shorter services than others. I love to exhort young married couples along those lines. Now, it looks like Linda has something to say here.
Oh, I do. And some of you guys are really going to understand this. For me, one of the reasons why a man shall leave his mother and father. Can you guys figure that one out? Mike's laughing. He knows where I'm going with this one. You know, sometimes these men become very, very dependent on their mamas. Their mamas take care of them. Their mamas feed them. And their mamas are the woman in their life. If you have your wife come move in with you, with your mama, with a man, he's going to have two women in his life. That's not going to be good. His focus needs to be, she is the one that now is the other part of me. She is the one that I share my life with. And she's going to take care of me. She's going to wash my clothes and she's going to cook the food and she's going to really take care of me. And I think with a lot of times with some of these guys, you've got to get away from your mother. Mm-hmm. I've seen people move in with the husband's parents. Doesn't work well. Okay. Mama's still in your life. If they move in with the wife's parents, it may have a chance of working better because most likely you men are not going to take on your mother-in-law like a mother, okay? Your wife will be that. But my suggestion is you don't move in with anybody, right? Just the two of you. You're supposed to leave. You're supposed to develop your own family. I know some people, because of financial reasons, will move in with one parent or something like that. But let me tell you, for optimum, for your marriage, and I've heard this from so many people, when they've moved away and no family go with them and it's just the two of them. When we did that with Boise out here, you know, mm-hmm. yes, Tawny and Ethan came with us, but more than anything, it was us. Mm-hmm. We had to focus on us. There was nobody else. We had left family, friends pretty much behind. And it was the two of us. And it was a really bonding experience. I think it drew us even closer because we had to depend on each other for everything. And I've heard that from a lot of people that move away from their family. So if you can avoid it, don't move in with your parents.
You can't avoid it. You can.
You can avoid it. And believe me, for the two shall become one flesh. You got parents in the other room. That ain't going to be the best solution for that working. We actually, remember we had a girl we knew very, very long time ago, and her husband moved into her parents' house with her. And her parents would open that bedroom door anytime they felt like it. And I said, why don't you put a lock on it? And they wouldn't let her because it was their house. Okay, folks, that is just wrong.
Time to move.
That is as wrong as it can be, okay? So leave your mamas, leave your papas, and cleave to your wife. That is God's plan, that you leave the other things behind and you two become dependent on each other for everything.
Yeah. And guys, man to man, let me just tell you, it's important to realize that, you know, come on, let's face it, especially you younger guys, you have a dependency upon your mother to take care of things, whether it's sewing or cooking or, you know, there's this motherly thing. You ever watch the Goldbergs? That's a whole nother story. That kind of reminds me. I mean, there is this motherly, sometimes it can be smothering, where the woman of the house, which is your mom, you get a dependence upon her. You get a leaning towards her. She meets your needs. And there must be an immediate change of guards when you get married, that now your dependence for those, all of those things that you used to depend upon your mother, no, now it's your wife.
Yes.
And you don't compare. Boy, I wish you could cook like mama. Stop it. Just shut your mouth. You should not talk like that.
He told me I made better spaghetti than his Italian mama.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to make that break. And we've seen it before, the harm that is done when that doesn't happen.
Yes.
That your needs be met by your wife, not your mother. That your leanings are towards your wife, not your mother, and so on. Okay, now, one more thing. I was going to quote Lloyd Jones again on this becoming one. He says, on a practical level, therefore, the whole of the husband's thinking must include his wife also. Mm. He must never think of himself in isolation or detachment. The moment he does so, he has broken the moment he does so, he has broken the most fundamental principle of marriage. In a sense, the moment a man thinks of himself in isolation, he has broken the marriage, and he has no right to do that. There is a sense in which he cannot do it because the wife is a part of himself. But if it happens, he's certain to inflict grievous damage on his wife. It is damage in which he himself will be involved because she is a part of him. Now, guys, there's a lot of women and men, all married couples. There's some great marriage series out there. from Love and Respect, which we're going to look at in the next verse, to Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, to what's the one by Family Life Conference. There's several.
The Art of Marriage.
The Art of Marriage. There's a lot of great series that will help you understand this and how it works. But you got to get this, that you are one, and you need to think as if you're one and no longer individually. So it goes on to say then in verse 32 that this mystery, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I told you there's an oscillation going back and forth to marriage and Christ and the church. How a husband should treat his wife, how Christ loves the church. How a wife should be towards her husband, how the church should be towards Christ. There's this allegory, which is also something as modeling what marriage should look like. And he goes on to say in verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Now, again, I want to do a little commercial, though I have nothing to do with the Love and Respect series as far as I don't make a dime off of this. But I highly, highly recommend, if you haven't seen it already, that you watch it. Now, by the way, nowadays you can go on YouTube, and I don't know, I haven't checked recently, but most of these things, most of the marriage series, most sermons, a lot of movies even, you can go on YouTube and for free you can watch it. So catch as much as Love and Respect as you can. The sessions, the discussions, the lectures. You could buy the book, Love and Respect, by Eggridge is the pastor's name who puts it out. And I really like it because it really builds a whole teaching on marriage from this one verse and then expands all over the place. Because the premise is that the man's basic need in life, most men's basic need, is to be respected. If you ask a man, would you rather have your coworkers love you or respect you? Most men would say, I want some respect. If you ask a woman, would you rather have your coworkers love you or respect you? They want to be loved. We're just wired a little differently. So, and it's true. It's understanding the way a man's brain is wired, understanding the way a woman's brain is wired, our basic needs in life. And also, I think the love and respect verse here in Ephesians 5:33 shows you where we most often fail. I think that quite often where a wife will fail is she will love her husband, but she doesn't show him the respect that he needs, because that's a basic need of men, is to be respected. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, he needs to act respectable if he wants my respect. Get the book, okay? Love and Respect, because there's too much to say to respond to that, because just like you're to honor your mother and father, just like you respect a police officer, even though maybe he may be not be a good guy, I don't know. But if he's wearing the badge and he's driving the squad car and he pulls you over and he's got the ticket book, you need to show some respect, okay? Yes. There is a respect of the office in life. There is
the
a respect.
Position.
The position and office of husband, okay? And husbands, you see already, we've already gone over this over and over again in this text, that a husband is supposed to love his wife. And so here's the thing. Since a woman's greatest need is love, quite often in marriage, the problem is that men don't get this. They might treat her in ways that they think are respectful or whatever. I don't know. But her need, guys, is to be loved. Her greatest need is to know that you love her and to feel loved by you. And you may even do things that you think, well, I did this for you. But if that didn't touch the spot, then she didn't feel loved. It didn't work. Okay, folks, I hear the music. Our time is up. We want to finish tomorrow looking at a little bit of this verse and then talk about family. And then we're going to start a whole new topic. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for listening. And I'm glad you joined us today. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look forward. His wonderful face. eyes. I wanna grow dim, standing next to you.